Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. Welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circlecraft Studies, Nature Folk, and others. In tonight's encore from June 2012, Selena discusses ways of celebrating the phases of the moon with chanting, meditation, imagery, and ritual, and working with moon ceremonies in personal and group practice.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we're going to explore moon magic and moon circles. We're going to take a journey through the phases of the moon, symbols of the moon, ways of attuning to the moon, and celebrating the different cycles of the moon. Magic moon of inner sight, come and bless our show tonight. Magic moon of sacred light, we honor you on this full moon night. We're doing this show in the orb of the fullness of the moon. Full moon is a wonderful time for celebrating creativity, for making magic, for envisioning what you would like to see happen, for meditating, for reflecting, for celebrating. For deflecting. So as we go through the different phases of the moon and looking at ways that we can work with them, I invite you to call into your own experience tonight your connection with the moon as a whole being, as well as a multifaceted being with different faces and phases. Some in some Wiccan and other pagan traditions have the moon associated with the divine feminine, the waxing of the moon with the maiden, the fullness of the moon with the mother, the waning and dark of the moon with the crone. And so that is within the circle craft tradition as well. But in the circle craft tradition, we also work with the phases of the moon in ways that transcends gender deity association. The waxing of the moon as a time of beginnings and new endeavors, of attracting things to you, to loved ones. The full moon, the time of manifestation, of envisioning as you wish something to be manifested, a time of creating, a time of fullness, fertility of thought, of feeling, of action, of the body, of the spirit. The waning moon, a time of letting go, of releasing, of dispelling. the dark moon, the time of mystery, when the sun and the moon are joined as one, and the moon is not visible in the sky from Earth. Whether you choose to associate the different components of the phases of the moon with a goddess form or perhaps a god form, for some old pagan traditions, had moon more linked with the divine masculine rather than the divine feminine. That's pretty much a matter of your own personal tradition, ethnic background, way of working. We're going to take a look at a whole range of ways of working with the moon tonight. I think the very first thing in deepening one's skills in doing moon magic and moon rituals is to develop an awareness of the moon as it goes from phase to phase. To become aware of the moon as it rises, as it is at its peak in each phase, and as it sets. Paying attention to the time of day and night, of moon rise, of moon set. Paying attention to its shape, from crescent to disc to crescent to not visible. Looking at the moon during the daytime as it is waxing, the moon at the nighttime, and being aware of the moon at different times of year as you go through the calendar year. One of the greatest ways of enhancing moon magic practice, in addition to direct viewing in your area, is getting a lunar calendar. Or for those of you who like cyber gadgets, getting an app for your smartphone, or having a site that you go to on your computer. I connect with the moon through direct observation, through a lunar calendar, and through apps on my iPhone, which I found really helpful. For the particular app that I have allows me to be able to not only see how the moon is happening and moving from phase to phase during this year, but if I want to look back in time or ahead in time for a particular day and month and year, I can find out what the moon was doing at that time. And I've had occasion to use that as part of some research that I've done, not only in my own life and reflecting, but in preparing for upcoming events. In addition to increasing one's awareness of the moon and its changes, I think it's important to find a way to incorporate moon viewing and moon meditation as part of your own spiritual practice. A simple way of doing this is to have a way of honoring the moon as it rises. Standing before the rising moon, watching it appear, honoring that connection you have. Just taking a few moments, envisioning it, connecting with it, letting it be the focus of your attention. Last night, we had our monthly full moon circle at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. And we celebrated the full moon in a variety of different ways. Our particular focus for this month was on the circle of stones. And we began by talking about stone circles, old and new, and connecting with the rhythms of nature and of community at these sites. And then we went to the stone circle at Circle Sanctuary. We had quite a bit of cloud cover for the actual moon ritual that we did. So although we had the moon glow, we didn't actually see the disc during our ceremony. But shortly after everyone had departed and I headed home, I saw it emerging from the cloud bank. And a very simple ritual was to stand in a place where I could watch it rising, seeing the beauty of it appearing in the sky. One of the postures that I use in ritual for moon work is holding my arms out by the sides of my body with palms up. And for the full moon, imagining that I'm like a cup and the fullness of that moon is flowing down within me to deepen my connection with it, to celebrate with it. And then giving thanks. Another way of attuning to the moon is watching the moon set. And that can be spectacular as well. Taking a walk under the light of the full moon is one of the favorite rituals that I have. Or simply sitting and bathing oneself with the light of the full moon. Or the waxing moon or the waning moon that I sometimes call the crone moon. All of these are ways of deepening your resonance, your alignment with the moon. If you do not yet have symbols or tools associated with the moon as a whole and with its multiplicity, you have many different options. For me, some of my moon tools are coming out of pagan ritual practice, and some of them are coming out of astronomy. I actually have a small globe of the moon showing the different craters and other features that have been charted by contemporary astronomy. And I sometimes work with that as part of my way of tuning into the moon. One of my favorite images of the moon is to work with a mirror reflecting the light of the moon, which is reflecting the light of the sun. I sometimes work with the image of the triple phases of the moon. Two crescents with a full orb in the center, representing the waxing, the full, and the waning, with the dark moon not specifically visible, but being implied, the mystery of the moon. One of the things that I've found helpful in doing my own personal practice with the moon each month is to give the name of the full moon, lunation, a name that connects with what's happening in the environment in which I happen to be. One of the common names for the June moon is the strawberry moon. And that's a term that goes back to Native American practices in North America, in places where the wild strawberries were coming into fruit. The names of the full moons will vary according to culture, spiritual tradition, and individual practitioner. Some lunar almanacs and calendars have a Celtic tree name associated with each of the lunations. I think in addition to looking at the different moon names across traditions, one can come up with your own based on what happens to be going on in your own environment. We could just as easily call this year's June full moon the Yarrow full moon for that particular herb, Achillea millefolium, is blooming right now. One of the fun things about coming up with names for the lunations, it strengthens your understanding not only of the environment that's happening around you that you're part of, but it's a way of remembering and sharing tales and memories about various moon times. Some people may be calling this particular full moon time the moon of the partial eclipse and the Venus transit, which is happening across the sun as we do this show. So you don't have to go with an established lunar name as part of your way of charting moon celebrations. You can create your own, and they can change from year to year. You can not only base the names on vegetation, what might be blooming or coming into leaf or fruit, but what might be happening with the landscape. Certainly, winter's moon is a name given to the January full moon in some of these northern climes. So we've talked about naming the moons, viewing the moon, coming to understand the rhythm of the moon. Now let's look at a type of magical practice that can be adapted according to the phase of the moon. Let's take the practice of home blessing. The moon is waxing, and you have moved into a new home. This would be a time for celebrating with your ritual the new beginnings of being in that place. So one of the things that could be done under the waxing moon for home blessing is to put some objects in the house that represent qualities that you want to have present in your home as you are making your home. Setting up an altar, putting some flowers within the kitchen area, burning some incense, connected with harmony and well-being and joy and celebration. If you're doing home blessing at full moon, this is a time where you have the intersection of both the waxing moon, qualities you want to bring into the home as you make the home, as well as the waning moon, what you wish to dispel from the home, and a time for envisioning the home as you would like it to be as it moves into the future. If you do a home blessing ritual during the waning moon, its emphasis could be on cleansing, clearing away, physically sweeping parts of the home, going around the home with incense to clear away any influences that you do not wish to have present, and doing some work of protection to prevent harm from coming not only to the home place, but to those that dwell there and invited visitors. In the dark moon phase, here again you have the waning moon connecting with the waxing moon. It's a time of mystery, a time where you can release as well as attract properties and qualities of well-being and joy to the home. So just by changing your emphasis according to the phase of the moon that you are in, you are able to deepen your work with home blessing. Now, if you have a choice of when to do a home blessing, my recommendation would be to do it either at dark moon or new moon, which some people see as identical, and in some astrological charts and calendars, dark and new moon are seen as one. That's a time with the waxing and the waning converging, or to do that at full moon time. My own particular preference is to do home blessings at full moon time, especially on a night when the full moon light is shining bright, because then one's wonderful experiences of the nighttime light coming around you and around your working, it just amplifies everything. Some other things to consider when it has to do with ritual work is for meditation, healing meditation. So healing for the waxing moon is drawing strength, renewal, mending to you. Healing during the waning moon is dispelling disease, dispelling discomfort, dispelling anything that is a block to healing. At the dark moon or new moon and the full moon, you have an opportunity to do both, working with the convergence of those phases. Some say that dark moon is when there is no visible moon in the sky, and reserve new moon for a day or two later, when you see the very beginning of the crescent of the waxing moon. For myself, I use dark moon and new moon pretty interchangeably for the work that I do, but I honor traditions that reserve the new moon for when it actually starts becoming visible in the sky. One of the things that I have used in working with the moon phases and the triple goddess is to guide the triple goddess inner vision quest, having the waxing moon of the maiden be connected with, not only by calling on that maiden moon to oneself, but taking a ritual posture of the archer with that bow being that waxing crescent, and having an imagined arrow that is something that you meditate on, that you wish to start growing in your life. And then during the ritual form, as that awareness of what to begin doing, what to start having manifest, to imagine shooting that arrow out into the realm of possibilities. In my triple goddess of the moon inner vision quest, for the mother, it's taking the posture that I described of arms up by the side, palms up, being like a vessel of a big cup and drawing down the moon into oneself for nurturing oneself and one's creativity. And as one focuses on a particular area of self-nurturance or a particular creative endeavor that one wishes to have happen, to actually imagine drinking that moonlight into oneself and having that manifest. For the crone goddess, the posture that I've developed is one of arms crossed in front of oneself like a scissors, and to call to mind something that one wants to cut out of one's life, to stop doing, having that message come, and then moving the arms back and forth as if they were scissors, imagining oneself releasing from that bad habit, releasing from an outmoded way of being and having that dispelled, and then shifting those scissor arms and hands into crossed arms over the chest, similar to what you see in some Egyptian mummy images where the arms are held, the body is held close together. It's a time of introspection when one holds arms in that position, not just a death pose, but a transformation pose of death, rebirth, renewal, and really focusing on one being released and starting to birth a new way of being. In that particular ritual that I began working with and created more than 30 years ago, I also have what I call the three-in-one, the goddess as whole goddess, arms moving in a huge circle, blending the maiden, the mother, the crone, the waxing, the full, the waning in the mystery of the dark moon and bright moon combined, and to celebrate one's connection with the moon as one, the goddess as one, as well as the diversity that are the different phases of the moon and facets of the goddess. As one continues to look at moon magic, one can find a way to do personal practice at each of these moon phases, as well as having some practice that involves connecting with others. One of the most powerful times to connect with others is that of full moon, hence the timing of this show. For regardless of whether people actually do organize ceremonies at full moon time, many people who have a view of the moon and a love of the moon will spontaneously resonate. And it's a time of illumination and connection. Some chants for the moon. Let us attune to the fullness of the moon, or we are in tune with the fullness of the moon. That chant can be adapted for each of the phases. We are in tune with the waxing of the moon. We are in tune with the waning of the moon. We are in tune with the darkness of the moon. Having simple chants that you can work with for each of the phases as well as the moon as a whole can really deepen your connection with the moon. Doesn't have to be a long involved chant. Simple chants are really great for moving into a more meditative state of consciousness as well as for raising energy. I'd like to talk a little bit more about some moon magic, and then we're going to move into the second part of our show, which will be to have some sharing of ideas and experiences, your comments of things that I've shared. And so in this last part of talking about moon circles and moon magic is to really look at some special things that happen with the moon. There is something that happens in astrology called the moon void of course. And that is when the moon is going between signs, and it has to do with aspects. And most lunar calendars and astrological calendars will have a crescent moon and then a V/C, meaning when the moon has gone into void. And then when it's about ready to go into the next sign, then it comes out of that void of course moon. Now, some say that when the moon is void of course, the lore and the tradition is that can be great for trance work, but if you're doing enterprises, signing legal documents, beginning new endeavors, it's best to avoid that particular rhythm of the moon. And I haven't tried to experiment with doing it or not doing it. I have that awareness. I have a calendar that helps me look at that, and I just pretty much hold to that tradition. I don't see that a moon void of course. Some say you do no work at all with that, but I've found it to be a useful time to be able to do some inner workings, and I've been able to have success with that myself. But it depends on your tradition and who you're working with. But certainly within the Circle Craft tradition, moon void, of course, is seen as an opportunity for introspection and reflection. The final special case having to do with lunar magic and moon circles is that of the eclipse. In particular, a total eclipse of the moon. One of the wonderful things about doing eclipse magic is that you have all the phases of the moon happening in one evening. So it can be a very powerful time as you watch the moon go through the different facets of the eclipse, as there is a darkening of the moon, time for release, dispelling, as the moon goes completely dark, a time of reflection of what you would like to see come into being as the moon starts waxing again in its light, focusing one's attention on that coming into being. And then finally, as it is fully moon bright again, holding that as a time for assimilation, integration, manifestation of what you seek. I think that moon magic and moon circles, rituals that happen with the moon, are an important part of one's own spiritual practice, and certainly in the Circle Craft tradition, having an awareness and an attunement and alignments with the moon is a really important part. There are three rhythms of nature that are central to the Circle Craft tradition. The circles of the moon and moon cycles, moon circles, the circles of the sun, and the circles and cycles of life. And by working with each of those, you not only can deepen your connection with the particular cycles that you're working with, but an understanding at a very inner level of nature's mysteries and wonders. In the last few moments of our time together, I invite you all to share your comments, share your ways of celebrating the moon and its phases. What are particular traditions that you have? I invite you to put your comments in through live chat. And if you're open to it, I invite you to join the conversation that will unfold in a few moments with David and Jeanette Ewing. You can call 347-308-8222. So we shift from looking at moon magic and the moon circles, the rituals that we do to make magic with the moon. We shift now to a sharing time. And I want to welcome David and Jeanette to our discussion tonight. Happy full moon time to you both.
Hello.
Hi, this is Jeanette here.
Hi.
And actually, we have somebody who's called in with a question about moon magic, full moon magic.
And okay, great.
Is it? Yeah, so this is Laura. Hello,
hi,
Laura.
Hello, good evening, everybody. How are you?
Good evening.
And my question was for you, Selena. Traditionally, the way I practice, I'm a solitary practitioner, classic Wiccan. And I pretty much agree with everything that you have said about the different phases of the moon and the work that you do. My question was, when there's, in this particular moon of this month that we have the partial eclipse,
right,
and that we have the transit of Venus through the sun, there's a lot of people that have commented to me that you shouldn't do any type of spells or magic because the energies could be a little bit too much to handle, if you will.
Well, and there's a lot of different perspectives on that. I think one really, anytime one does any type of ritual or spiritual practice, it's important to do some preparation around that, to be centered, to have a clear space, to do a cleansing of oneself or blessing of oneself, and to reflect on what one is interested in doing and to get a sense before one begins if it is still a good idea to do that. I personally have been doing different types of spiritual workings over the last several days for a variety of reasons. But I have not just kind of picked something up to do it. I've given intention to it and reflection on it. And some of that's been very private. Some of it has been with others. I do think part of it has to do with personal tradition and perspective. And I think it also has to do with the ability to discern at the moment whether to proceed with something, even if one has already planned it out. For myself, I not only had a group full moon last night, but I had a personal practice as well as I watched the moon rise and then connected with the moon setting this morning and did a whole series of different activities. That's a really good question. And I think in addition to looking at the Venus transit, which is a rare phenomena, the next one won't be for 117 years from seen from the Earth, that is, I do think that you not only have the symbolic dynamics of the planet Venus going across the sun, but you also have the dynamics of humankind and their thinking, their lore, their viewpoints about that, that are all part of the force field for those of us here on this planet. So yes, I've known some people who are really excited about this time to, and seeing it as a time where the Venus transit is a way of amplifying what we do. And I've heard other people say, no, we just, you know, back off and do nothing. Well, I did a lot. So where is that all going to go? I guess time will see as to what the impact is on myself and others that joined in with practices. I actually, before coming on this show, was at a viewing party of the Venus transit across the sun, where there were large telescopes with the proper filtering on it so that one could safely look at Venus going across the sun. And while that is characterized as a Venus solar phenomena, the very fact is tonight is one of the nights of the full moon, for those of us that celebrate the full moon or more than one night, and I'm in that category, and knowing that that moonlight, as the moon rises and is rising, is going to have some of that wonderful energy of the magic of the Venus transit. What is your own personal preference about working with the moon at different types of conditions, astronomy-wise and astrology-wise?
Well, I'm very glad to see that we are exactly on the same frequency, because my personal belief is that as I see an eclipse happening, I have the energy of both the sun and the moon together, which is awesome and beautiful to have them together. And the same thing with the Venus transit right now. It's an event that most of us are not going to be alive to see again.
That's right.
And to take advantage of that beautiful energy, it's something amazing. And a personal note, what I get from your answer, thank you very much for answering, it's an honor. It ultimately comes to personal practice. So mm-hmm. one cannot tell other people you should do this or that. But one should say, well, I do it my way, it works for me, and then other people will do whatever works for them. But, yeah, I'm into the doing a lot of work, taking advantage of this particular situation.
Yeah, and I do think that if one's from a particular religious or spiritual tradition or ethnic tradition, national tradition that has things around the moon and some of that moon lore, if one's part of that orb, one needs to be aware of that impact, because I think what we get raised in, there is some of that dynamic going on within ourselves. But I do think ultimately, as one does spiritual practice, one is seeking to be in harmony with that sacred that goes beyond us and our human incarnation, and to develop a strong connection with that divine wisdom that's within us and beyond us, and to have, whether you call it the inner self or the still small voice within or the wisdom self, to have that part developed as spiritual practice as part of guidance in terms of deciding what to do and when to do it and things. You know, one of the things I like to do at various lunar events is to energize jewelry And I have moonstone jewelry that I wear at full moon time, and will have it actually bathing in full moon light, not only wearing it during ritual, as I did last night, but wearing it whenever I want to tap into that full moon power, even at times that aren't the full moon. It's a way of being able to attune to that. And I'm wondering if you've done any work with any gemstones, such as moonstone or selenite, which is another stone that's linked in with the moon, as part of your own practice.
Yeah, I am originally from Mexico City, and traditionally I remember my mother doing a bowl of water and dunking all her stones, crystals, and leave it on the windowsill to be bathed with the full moon light. And my mom was not a Wiccan practitioner. However, she knew this from tradition in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I do. I kind of skip the water part of it, so I put them on my windowsill just on a plate or a bowl or something, sometimes with the water, sometimes without the water. And I do the same with my jewelry also.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, in addition to my moonstone earrings, I also have pearls that I work with as a kind of lunar connection. And people use pearls in a lot of different ways. One of the forms of the moon that I attune to at full moon time is the Ocean Mother. From Afro-Caribbean traditions, Yemaya, or she's, I guess, kind of in a more universal sense, Our Lady of the Sea. And certainly in traditions that converge Roman Catholic Christianity with indigenous nature traditions, Imaja, Yemaya, Mary of the Sea, these are sacred forms not only connecting with the ocean, but of the full moon and the ocean. So one of the things that I have and try to weave into my life at least once a year is making a full moon journey to the ocean. I live in a forest in the middle of the country, in the north central part of the country in Wisconsin, but I have a love of the sea and the ocean, and one of my favorite things is being able to go out under the full moon, rising above the ocean, and connecting with the ocean goddess, not only in the Yoruban name of Imaja, but as Mother Ocean. And I know that different practitioners will have different names for the moon. Out of Old Mexico, one of the sacred names that I've worked with the moon, is Ixchel. And she has an island known as Cozumel, which was sacred to women and women's mysteries connected with the moon. And I don't know if, as part of your Mexican heritage, if you were aware of this ancient goddess who is said to have given weaving to humankind, and a goddess of not only the moon, but of childbirth and fertility.
I'm not an expert, of course, but I know a little bit of the mythology behind her. And I practice more with some other deities of the Aztec pantheon, such as Hecatl and Coatlicue. And Coatlicue is the mother of all gods and goddesses out there, and she could be easily representing any aspect of the mother. And obviously, well, I revere to her, you know, every day, but when it comes to the full new, and new moon also, practice with the goddess of the underworld. Her name is Mictlantecuhtli. And I just love practicing with all of these deities and putting together my Aztec background, the little that I know, and then my Wiccan formation into it. And now that I mentioned that, part of the people on Mexico who are afraid of working with the eclipse and the new moon
mm-hmm.
comes precisely from tradition, this traditional fear of the darkness on the moon, which is, in my personal opinion, unfortunate. But I personally practice with it because it has worked wonders for me. So I embrace those phases on the moon.
Yes, and I think that what you're sharing is a good example of being able to be to have an awareness of cultural and ethnic heritage and traditions connected with that, but also having an awareness of one's own personal path on the planet and finding which of those traditions to weave into one's personal path. And to have an awareness of what to choose and connect with and what things to set aside, at least at this point in time and space. I think part of what can be complicated for those of us with indigenous heritage in the Americas, my heritage rooted in America is Native American Tsloggy or Cherokee, who are Eastern woodland peoples. And the new moon, very important even to this day in that particular tradition, a tradition called going to water. But I know as there was contact with Europeans that some of the old ways, especially some things that might have deeper mysteries, became demonized, and then some of that negativity got absorbed. I'm not saying that's specifically what happened in the particular things you're talking about, you know, for certain, but certainly some of the old practices got some distortion in them with cultural contact, and a number of people that I know in the Americas that are celebrating their heritage rooted in America has been finding a way to reclaim the old ways, but also strip away some layers of distortion and to go back into some ways that might even be older that less is known about. So even traditions that have been around for a while might not necessarily be how they were in old, old times. One of the things that I have been intrigued with and continuing to study for many years has to do with pyramids and mounds and sacred sites that are aligned with the sun and the moon. And there's one of those such sites in Wisconsin, and it's called Aztalan. Now, the archaeologists are calling the culture Mississippian, and that has to do with how the research proceeded and what names were given to the various archaeological sites along the way. But I actually first found out about Aztalan, which is a name that comes from ancient Mexican heritage that one of the early European explorers gave to this place because there were these step pyramid mounds of earth, not out of stone, as in some parts of Mexico. And one of the mound areas in my dream that I first saw this was the Temple of the Sun. One was the Temple of the Moon, and one was the Temple of the Earth. And I'll save talking about all of that for some other time, but I have continued to be intrigued as I've studied ancient Mexican traditions and sacred sites, how that lunar, solar, and connecting with the earth, the underworld piece, whether it's like the Jaguar Temple or the world of the mystery, how those patterns have played themselves out across the Americas and across different tribes.
It is amazing for me that to know that they name it Aztlan or Aztlan. And I don't know if you knew the name of Mexico comes from the Aztec Mexico, that means the navel of the moon.
That is really a wonderful thing to know. That's moon magic right there.
I couldn't be other than what I am.
Well, I am so thankful for you calling in and sharing experiences and traditions, and I wish you a wonderful full moon evening, and may this Venus transit continue to be with us and in good ways. That love that's connected with Venus in Roman mythology, may it brighten our days and our nights as well.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and the magic of this full moon has brought me this conversation with you. I absolutely love you and admire you, and I'm very thankful to have talked to you.
Well, thank you very much. Many blessings.
Many blessings for you as well and everybody on Pagans Tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, as I look at the clock, I know our time is drawing near to bring closure for tonight. I want to thank David and Jeanette for being here, and hoping you all are having a good full moon time.
Yeah, we are. We've just been enjoying the discussion. It's been very illuminating, to use that word, and it's been interesting that, you know, most of what you've talked about are things that I've done for years as well, that I guess I wasn't quite aware of was part of the circle craft tradition that I've done as well, in terms of timing things and things like that. And, you know, in my own personal practice, in our own personal practice, we've not really done much connecting with deities as associated with the phases of the moon. It's been more of a, you know, the moon as this celestial body force, and, you know, that we've always connected with as well.
Yeah. Well, I want to give thanks to the moon as a whole sacred form. The moon as waxing, full, waning, dark and new. I give thanks to the circles of the moon that we practice each in our own way, the circles of the moon that we connect with that lunar energy with others. I want to give thanks to the moon circle that converged tonight. May we have the moon within us and around us as part of our way of attuning to nature and the mysteries and the wonders of life. So mote it be.
Is it really gonna go like this? Is it really gonna be poor me with a stiff whiskey crutch?
Oh.
Is it really gonna end this way? I mean, I've left better deals for less than this much.
Oh.
And I'd really love to call a friend, but I'm here without a phone. I've been driving around, it's 3 a.m. and I'm sitting here alone in my car. In the cold, it's just me and the moon tonight. Me and the moon tonight, and I'll find my own. I gonna have to drop down, drag it out with my thoughts? Oh no. Is it really gonna end this way? Me tangled in the web of all that I saw.
Oh no.
And I'd really love to cut the wires, but I'm here without a blade. I've been paralyzed with my eyes on fire as I face the choice I made in the snow. Turns to rain. It's just me.
Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org, and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.